So I'm like a one-man band today. How weird to have a worship leader get off stage and then come and do a little preach. So it is true, I can speak, not just sing. So if nobody's even heard me talk before, I can actually talk to people, which is amazing. So Jeremy thought it was a good idea. He'd be like, oh, let's have Christopher talk. Is that a good English accent? Could potentially be the worst decision of his life, but we'll find out. And then before I start, I'm not as entertaining as Jeremy. He has the most amazing stories. I have no idea, because he only really walks around and lives around the square mile, really. So he doesn't really move from there, but there seems to be like a lot of entertainment going on. There was some story about a bike. I don't know what it was last week. But anyway, I'm quite a boring person, so I'm not as exciting as he is, so I won't have too many good stories. But should we turn to Mark 2, 13-17? I'm going to be reading from the NLT because I'm blonde. I find it simpler. I just find the words relate to me a bit better. So apologies if it's a little bit different than yours. Mark 2, 13-17. Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Now, in my version, it has in brackets, there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. 16, but when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think that they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. So I'm just going to read 13 and 14 again, because I'm just going to focus just real quickly, a bit more on those two verses. So number 13, then when Jesus went out to the lake shore again, so obviously he's been out there before, and taught the crowds that were coming to him, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, if I get that name wrong, I apologize, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. It's quite a dramatic thing to do, just to suddenly get up and follow this random man that he's obviously never met before. And I just, going through that verse, it's just kind of like, okay, what was it that attracted him to Jesus? Like, just to get up and like leave everything behind, you know? He obviously, you know, here had a dad as well, you know, obviously a family. You know, was it the way Jesus spoke? Did he look trustworthy? It could have been because Jesus had been at the lake shore before and had preached something, and maybe, you know, Levi spotted that and saw something that was just like really good in Jesus, and maybe he looked, you know, trustworthy and could, you know, follow him. I don't know about you, but I certainly wouldn't be doing that, following a random man that kind of just came and said, you know, follow me and my bunch of merry men. I don't think I'd be doing that. I think it's too scary. You know, it's out of the ordinary. It'd be too risky for me to do that. And I'd feel very uncomfortable. I like my comfortable life. It's nice. It's solid. Especially for a tax man, a very wealthy person with a lovely lifestyle. I'm sure he had a very nice house on the hill, a swimming pool, maybe a bonsai tree. I just got one for my birthday. That's why it's in my head. Very weird thing to get for a birthday as well, but anyway, you know, he probably felt safe in his home as well. It could be that Jesus' followers were very like Levi, probably similar lifestyle. You had Zacchaeus, who obviously was a tax collector. He was probably, you know, in that crowd as well that was following Jesus, and you know, maybe Levi was like, hey, if they're following him, I can get on board. You know, I can get on with these people. But I think there was an element of faith in there as well with Levi, an element of faith that in Jesus, a man he'd never met before, you know, with people of his kind, seeing him as a good man drew Levi to have faith in Jesus. And I think the Holy Spirit touched him at that point in time, and he just knew this was the right thing to do. This was the right thing to follow this man and trust in him. and trust his, put his life in Jesus' hands, basically. And as we read on, we're taken into a dinner party and what seems to be slightly uncomfortable conversation with the Pharisees. Commentary I've read, supposedly the Pharisees wouldn't have been seen at the dinner. This conversation is probably done after the actual dinner, or else they'd be accused of having dinner with these so-called scum as well. So at 15, I'll just read it again. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers, but when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think that they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." So, interestingly, like Pharisees always went by the rules, they went by the laws. I think they made up a few of their own laws as well. How convenient. And that's fine. You know, they do get a lot of bad press. They're not bad people. Well, I don't think they are bad people, but I think they just, they stuck to their guns, they stuck to their law, they stuck to their rules. It was just black and white. There was no ifs, buts, or anything else. And actually, I think for them, then they just lost so much grace in how they led their lives, and they weren't able to pour out grace onto people as well. And I think actually what happened was then, in their knowledge, you know, and in the way that they kind of stuck with things, they actually produced more judgment and just judge other people and judge themselves as well. They probably felt judged by themselves and how they led their lives as well. They just couldn't see past their own knowledge. You know, their knowledge was blinding them from seeing what Jesus was there to do. So how much do we put our trust and our faith in Jesus? I find this very difficult in my life, ever-changing decisions and everything, and I just find it really hard to trust in Jesus, even though he's been there my whole life, and I can see all the different times that he's been there and been faithful. We've got a little plaque in our house that just says God is faithful, and just we have to have it up, you know, by our sink, just because it's a reminder and a constant thing. I think it can be hard for us when we don't see something in front of us to have faith in it. So I gave up a job down the road, St. Sepulchre's. I obviously had the part-time job here as well, and I had nothing to go to after it. Took a leap of faith. It didn't quite make sense. Probably wasn't very responsible. Myself and my wife, Hannah, needed to pay bills and pay rent, and London's very expensive. And, you know, our parents wouldn't be able to bail us out because they're probably more paupers than we are. But it just felt right. It felt like God was going to be with us in that decision and in that choice, and it just felt in my heart that he was going to be with us. And amazingly, after a week, HDB, Ben Cantillon, rang me just to ask if I'd like to join team part-time with them. And so that was amazing. And it was a risk, you know, that I took, and God was with me. But so many times, you know, we don't take these leaps of faith because, you know, we live in very comfortable lives in lovely westernized little cushy jobs and everything else. We don't explore and take risks, and you know, we're fearful of the unknown. What's unknown ahead of us scares us, and so we don't want to take that leap forward. And I think, you know, Levi didn't know what was before him in following Jesus, this man he'd never met. You know, something in his heart though told him he needed to follow this man. He needed to go with it and have faith, with no knowledge of what was next. In John 20:29, Jesus said, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The Pharisees may have seen Jesus physically, but Levi saw Jesus' spirit. Levi saw something that was unseen, and the only way to trust in it was to have faith in something that the Pharisees seemed to miss, because they were so focused on sticking to what they knew in their own understanding. And now sometimes we make a decision and a risk that doesn't really work out. And, you know, we've had that with my own family, you know, over a few years. There's been quite painful things happening in our family situation. But And, you know, we're kind of like, well, we trusted you, God, you know, you were there, you're supposed to be there for us. We make this choice, and then, you know, the grass seems to be greener. And maybe it's because our own agenda, you know, is in the way. Maybe, I'm not quite sure, that's probably a longer talk to take on, and probably a different Bible verse as well. But, you know, we can get angry at God and say, why did you take me down this route? Why did you open this door? Why didn't you close it? So I wouldn't, you know, be in this position where we thought the grass was greener. It's a lot muckier and not as nice. But I think always remember just what the enemy means for evil, like God turns it for good. And so, you know, the evil just likes to suck us dry of faith, suck us dry of joy and of our enthusiasm for life as well. That's what he loves. You know, the life that God has given us. You know, the devil wants to take that away from us. He doesn't want us to be all Christians, clappy, happy, you know, praising Jesus and going about doing God's work. He wants to take that away from us. And if he can take our faith and place fear in our lives, then how great, you know, he wins over that. And but we just always need to know that what the enemy means for evil, God down the road is going to turn it, you know, for his good and for his glory. And he's done that on the cross as well. And so I think it's just important for us to take risks. And to us, they seem like risks. To God, they may not, because he's like, well, I'm with you. I'm with you the whole way. And I'm not saying quit your jobs. It's a bad idea. So if you've got spouses, don't go home going, quitting, going out. That was just an example from my own life. But there are things that we're always, always going to have to make choices for. And we just need to know that God is with us, that we just have to have faith in him like Levi did. He was so bold and just got up and followed Jesus. He had faith. He saw and sensed the Holy Spirit. And that's something that we just want to pray about when we're making choices, that we just know and have confidence that God is with us.